The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 137 through 144. You are righteous, O Lord, and your judgments are right. You have appointed your decrees in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, but your commandments are my delight. Your decrees are righteous forever. Give me the understanding that I may live. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is the meeting between Jesus and Zacchaeus. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of the Lord.
O gracious God, may we be refreshed on this day with your waters of love, your waters of grace, as we discern how you call us to serve, to love, how to embrace your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We are called to love, aren't we? Aren't we? To live our lives as Christians with joy and love. We are called, aren't we, to live with enthusiasm, right? Enthusiasm and abundance and just a gratefulness about life, aren't we? Yeah. Life is not to be boiled down to a couple of mantras or a few techniques that will enable you just to get by. No, we're called to live with boldness and with freedom. Life is about living deeply. And this is what Jesus taught, living deeply. What does that mean? Living deeply in relationship with those who are around you. Friends, neighbors, strangers. This morning, I'm going to be meditating upon a question. What are we doing here? Now, that question can be asked in a lot of different ways. What are we doing here? What the heck are we doing here? And I want you to listen to your life to determine how you most often ask that question. What's the tone in your voice? Where's the passion in your heart as you say those words? My hope is that you might share this question not only with your friends and family, but with others in the community so that your love of Jesus Christ shows and shines forth with curiosity, conveying grace and love. What are we doing here? As we're gathered here today on All Saints Sunday, let us consider the twin poles of our faith, law and grace. And let's not see them. I misspoke. They're not really poles. They're not oppositional forces. No, they are two sides of the same coin. Two sides of the same coin as we respond to the question, What are we doing here? Fundamentally, both law and gospel are about relationship with Yahweh, leading us ever deeper into that power, into that trust. Law and gospel take us deeper so that we might encounter life-giving spirit. That's where the good stuff is in life. Going deeper, not saying superficial. Who wants to say superficial? No, thanks. I want to go deep. I want to get low. I want to hear the heartbeat of creation. Law and gospel empower us to see the deeper fabric that's running through creation. Law and gospel affirm that the world is sewn together with grace and with love. So what are we doing here? Psalmist responds with acknowledgement. This is one of the great psalms that has some of the bedrock of our faith. It begins with, I am small and despised. I am small and despised, but it's not being said in a tone of, oh my gosh, I'm ugly or whatever. It's just, I'm being honest here. I'm small and despised. Yet, don't you love that word yet? Yet, I do not forget, God, your precepts. I do not forget your laws. Yet, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness and your law is the truth. What are we doing here? The psalmist acknowledges again how small we are and yet so thankful to be alive, able to participate in community. It's really about participation, folks. It's really about being able to gather together, not being isolated. Do you know how it is about trying to orchestrate big events? All hands on deck. You all know that expression when it comes to big events, right? No one can do it alone when it comes to putting on a big event. Now, think about restaurants and putting on the big events. I think today about Jim Hunter. You all know Jim Hunter, right? Helps us on Tuesday meals, help us to orchestrate that event. Jim Hunter used to run restaurants all over the world. He used to be the manager in some cases. Well, if you'd ask Jim about what it takes to put together a big event, this is what he might say. Managers, sure, they're important. Sure, the head of the restaurant is important, but they need the waiters, right? They need the waiters to take the orders that serve the food. And you need the bussers, who of course connects you to the chefs who are making the food, who receive the food from the trucker, who are getting the food order from the manager who places the order, because are always important. Because someone wants to have a party and wants to celebrate with their friends and family. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? We're here to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We're here to be part of community. And we all have a gift to share and something that we can bring to this party. This is the good news. We are part of the creation, and this is what the law reveals. We also respond to this question, what are we doing here, by remembering the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. We were called to remember Jesus is the master who invites all to the table, and it doesn't matter where you come from or what you've done, for the Son of Man came to seek out who? To seek out the lost and to save the lost. In the story of Zacchaeus, we got to remember that Zacchaeus has separated himself from the rest of the community by associating with the Romans. Okay, when you hear that word Roman, that's the instant moment where all you in the community of faith, what do you say? Boo. I want to hear some good hisses here. Hiss. Hisses up in the balcony. Let's hear some hisses, kids. Let's do a better boo now. Boo. Hiss. When you hear the Romans, you boo and you hiss. And it's not a joking matter, actually. You hate them. You hate them because they tax the heck out of you. They tax you literally to death. And Zacchaeus, he's implementing Roman policy on the Jewish people. You hate Zacchaeus. He's not one of us. As the chief tax collector, oh my golly, this guy's not even just a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. He's the head honcho. He is by definition wealthy and corrupt. And they even tell you even more that he's wealthy. Oh, we get it. Luke, we get it. This tax collector purchased the right to collect taxes and to profit from what they charge above and beyond what the empire is owed. And living in Jericho, a big city, Zacchaeus, he would have employed a lot of underlings, a lot of minions, who would then collect on his behalf. Zacchaeus is bad news. Nobody wants to be with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not only wealthy, Zacchaeus was to be feared. I think it's interesting, when you hear this story, we always, oftentimes as preachers, we emphasize, oh, he was short of stature. You know what? I think, just in terms of poetry here, he might be the small guy with a Napoleonic complex. You don't want to stand next to the short guy. You don't want to be near this guy, because he's going to fleece you. He's going to take all your money. This is one scary dude. You don't talk to him directly. Zacchaeus is not to be messed with. He is the definition of the outsider to this community here. And yet, oh, I like that word. And yet, Jesus invites himself, to the chief tax collector's home, which is a startling breach of etiquette and a demonstration of his reputation to associate with outsiders. Rather than being defiled, Jesus communicates wholeness and welcome. Now, this is so important to note about Pharisees and their standards and table fellowship, what we're about to do in about 5 minutes. If you're a Pharisee, you understand table fellowship. It doesn't denote just friendliness. It denotes, it means parity and acceptance. It means you're literally at the same table. To sit at table with somebody indicates approval of that person. And Jesus seems to be approving of Zacchaeus' sinful life. But in addition, Zacchaeus approves of Jesus, and that changes everything. And that flips the table. What are we doing here? Luke conveys that the character of faith and repentance is emphatically ethical. How you live your life. It is not sufficient to understand that Jesus is the Messiah and to believe in Jesus. One's life must reflect one's confession. Zacchaeus clearly understands this as an outsider, and he demonstrates this. He says to Jesus, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, which you know he's done, I will pay them back four times as much. And he's saying this privately to Jesus? No, he's saying this publicly. He's confessing it. Well, the proud Pharisee in last Sunday's parable reminds God of his faithful tithing. Zacchaeus offers half of his substantial income to the poor in addition to making restitution that the law requires. Looking back on his life, Zacchaeus repents of his shakedown of his neighbors, and looking forward, Zacchaeus is not nearly so wealthy, but he is walking in a new direction with love and joy in his heart. What are we doing here? Law and gospel, two sides of the same coin, they invite us to participate in creation and in community. Law and gospel received with joy and enthusiasm, it transforms our relationships and it moves us in different directions. And it's not one size fits all, folks. You've got to do the hard work of discernment. You've got to listen to your heart to see and to hear how Jesus is calling you to serve. Which is another way of saying freedom of conscience. You got to do the hard work of listening to your heart. For some, the sharing of wealth becomes a cross that's too hard to bear, as the ruler we heard last week learns to his great sorrow. That is why Jesus says, indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. But for others, yet for others, they take hold of Jesus' instructions and they host a banquet. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors. in case they may invite you in return. It's not about reciprocity. It's not about reciprocity. It's not about being repaid. Jesus says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the blind, and you will be blessed. You will go deeper. You will seek out the heart of God. That's what we're going to be doing next week as we celebrate the 160th anniversary of Mendocino Presbyterian Church. We will be having a banquet, literally and figuratively, as we worship and as we eat next door. And so when people ask, what are you doing here? You know, you can respond, we're having a party. We are having a party. And everyone is invited. Use your gifts this week to invite all to come to the table. Amen. Amen.